Friends, welcome back. My name is Octavia, and this is my astrology podcast. This is a special edition episode today, and I am joined by Eliza Kendall, a spirit medium, lovely friend of mine, all the way down in Australia on the Southern Hemisphere, and we are meeting up today to drop in with you all, and I'm so excited. Eliza, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, Octavia. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Awesome. We were just talking before we got started, and we're just going to dive into some frequencies and themes that I think it's safe to say are dear to both of our hearts. Yeah, I'd love to hear, Eliza, if you want to speak a bit about what you do and your background and how you came about into the world of being a spirit medium.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So as a quite a young child, I was aware that spirits wanted to speak with me. But because I was quite focused on personal development, certainly through early teens, all the way through my 20s and 30s, and frankly, so on and so forth, I'm kind of a little bit addicted to evolution. I think it's one of my most important values. So here we are. Because I was quite focused on personal development, you know, for me, there was a real need to understand how to be human, how to navigate this area. I was aware that I wasn't normal. I was aware that I'd come from somewhere else, and it felt like I was driving my body like it was a car. And this was, as I said, an awareness that I had from early childhood, but I couldn't quite figure out how other people were the way they were. So what I did was begin nursing. I started nursing in palliative and geriatric care. That went on for quite some years. And during my nursing time, I continued with the personal development work and spiritual development in my own life. I was curious about things. I wanted to learn and grow. I believed in transformation always. It's just part of how I was raised and part of, as I said, one of my ethoses. So the many years I did palliative care, I spent a lot of time with one foot in the spirit world and one foot in the human world. So it developed skills and qualities in me somewhat subconsciously that allowed me to transcend both worlds and essentially act as a bridge between the two. The spirits call me a key. I have a capacity for anybody who wants information from various different realms, dimensions, species, etc., can just actually kind of jack into me and receive what it is that they need.
Which
is certainly now how I think about it. I know, and I'm aware of this, you know, everywhere I go. I kind of just, people are just in the field with me. If they exist in my toroidal field, then they're simply receiving whatever it is that they need that can promote their own evolution. And I don't really need to do anything else. But over the years, I've become fascinated with the human mind, with the subconscious mind, and with emotions. I was highly emotional and highly sensitive. So as I moved out of nursing, nursing simply just became a little bit too restricted for me. I found clinical hypnotherapy and various other different psychotherapeutic techniques, parts therapy, etc. Methods and psychotherapeutic techniques that allowed me to, you know, understand myself, all aspects of myself, all parts of the psyche, and also understand and work with people to help them understand themselves. So my initial beginnings through that time of clinical hypnotherapy were really acting as a key between us, conscious and subconscious, with various clients. So I did that for many, many years. And, you know, that beautiful platform of working with altered states of consciousness also allowed me to use some of the other psychic skills that I had. And so they naturally began to develop.
Sure.
As I became grounded. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that's amazing that that is where that transpired. It just makes a lot of sense that you would be in that kind of intimate container, if you will, of altered consciousness with clients, that then those gifts could emerge. It's just beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah, it gave me a strong foundation, you know, and as I became more clear about who I am, what I am, my preferences, understanding my energy body, understanding my emotions, building the emotional intelligence, then I was able to very quickly expand my psychic capacities, which were always there, but I'd simply chosen to not focus on them. So I certainly began to build from the ground up. For 5 years in Melbourne, I taught a school. I ran a spiritual development school called How to Be Your Own Guru, because I didn't necessarily want to be people's healer. I had a lot of different skills, and I decided that it was more interesting for me to teach people how to hear themselves. I came to understand that, you know, we all have all the capacities and skills that we need inside of us. We are built to be dynamic, healing, organic mechanics. And so that all certainly became my focus. And now, working as a spirit medium, what I do is translate information from the spirit realms to the human realms. And I began doing that simply because my guide said it was time, and that's the most appropriate way to be of service. I always ask, how can I be of service? What's the best way? So now most of the time I am working as a translator. But during all of those growth and understanding and learning, there are many, many things that I've noticed and expanded, and I want to say moved through and updated my understanding. And one of those is absolutely joy, the power of joy, the power of certain frequencies, and the power of innocence. Or as you have said, the purity of innocence. So I really appreciate you welcoming me to have this conversation about these topics, because they're absolutely fields of interest for me as I've continued to grow in myself and also watch other people and watch the world around me as you know, I am of service to the evolution of humanity. So I'm paying attention.
Amazing. Oh, well, you have my full attention. Thank you so much for sharing your background. It's just so exciting to hear. I mean, it makes so much sense as well that you started with nursing and really like the physical body, the human, you know, talking about learning how to be human. What a beautiful entry point, right? Seeing, I guess, the frailties, if you will, in the resilience and everything in between that you would see as a nurse on the spectrum of being human. Very cool. Yeah, I'm jumping up over to innocence and joy just because I can't help myself.
Right.
I think that these qualities, I've, after studying and practicing with the I Ching and looking at them from an ancient perspective, has really helped me to reintegrate these frequencies into my being, into my life, and into my world, because I think we have these, you know, the societal cultural notions of joy and innocence are quite infantilized and seen as, you know, childlike or lacking maturity. But on the contrary, I think a matured state of innocence that goes beyond this sort of you know, the virgin archetype or something like this, you know, something conceptual, where it is just this openness to life and this ability to, you know, remember to forget all the things that can go wrong, which is very strong, you know, in us as adults, some more than others. But then it turns into this quality of the unexpected, because we aren't you know, wagering on an outcome. We're not leaning into, because I think there is a tendency to want to predict what will go wrong just for the sake of certainty. And I love the way that joy and innocence kind of say no to that. It's like, no, you just, it's actually kind of the opposite of that. Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you. I think joy brings us into absolute presence.
It does. And in that sense, it is childlike, you know, because children are so present, but to be present as an adult does ask a bit more of us. So I was flipping back into some of your a previous conversation you had with a mutual friend and co-creator of ours, Lauren Renee, on her podcast. And I mentioned this to you earlier before we started because it was just so resonant for me that joy transcends all socioeconomic constraints, familial constraints, ancestral. I love that so much. And I think that really resonated with me because I often feel the same way about things like astrology, practices that are ancient, and qualities and frequencies that bring us back into something that is unifying us with everything outside of time and space. Is there anything else around
that you'd like to share? You've really highlighted it really well, and I really appreciate that, because it does, it transcends time and space, it transcends the boundaries and limitations. You know, there's that saying, everybody smiles in the same language. It's absolutely true for joy. You know, I've been so highly emotional in my life and so highly receptive. In fact, when my makers, if you like, the higher ups who charged me to be here at this time of evolution, I've had an experience through my quantum healing hypnosis practice where they were looking down at me and I asked them to turn down the sensitivities, and I felt them and heard them looking down at me and going, are a little receptive, okay, you know, because I felt everything to the extreme. And so I've been exploring the depth and breadth of emotions for such a long time, and as I said, through that time there's been so much study and learning and education and listening and reading and hearing and practicing and being taught all these profound spiritual concepts that we have getting around in all the different let's say techniques or modalities or mythologies or whatever you want to call them. They're these deep spiritual concepts, you know, presence, neutrality, certainly. And, you know, joy is just not spoken about that often. And so I spent years getting wise. I'm very, very wise. You know, I know many, many things, and I've studied and I've learned. And so I'm clearly now, is my highest frequency is to be the very wise one in the room. You know, if you think about what are your highest aspects of self, most of us think of this kind of higher, hyper intelligent, you know, maybe it looks like a beautiful kind of wizard type or a beautiful sage angel archetype, or they're exactly that is so super wise. And I thought that that was my highest frequency. And then I began to notice what had the most impact in the world around me, because I'm continuously socially experimenting. What energy can I put out in the world, and what response does it have? I spent years dyeing my hair different colors and shaving it and growing it in all different ways to see what reaction it had. And pale pink hair in a bob got me the most smiles and the most laughter.
So really?
I've been really interested in, like, indeed, people would laugh and smile at me on the street when I had pale pink hair, when I had all other types of hair, and I tried all different sorts of clothes as well. Strangers would feel scared in the city that I lived in to talk to me. It would disturb them and create, I could feel it creating chaos in the field. And so I was like, how can I create positivity and joy in the field? Now, of course, I just send it from the inside out, but in my discovery of this and my experimenting, I found so many things. I had a shaman who I studied with for some time, actually not for that long. And he said to me, after hearing many of the things that I'd learned and studied myself over the years and all the wise things that I'd learned, he said to me, Eliza, you say a lot of things and most of it doesn't really amount to much, but about 15% of the time, you're pure joy and you should just do more of that. And I looked at him and I thought, oh, how dare you? I am so wise. I say many wonderful things. I'm a spiritual teacher. And then I immediately went, you know what? You're right. You're right. The joy frequency is the best one. It's the highest one. And I found it really fascinating now as well to notice on my journey as I keep expanding more and more and getting access to more and more ancient and sacred and hidden and hidden galactic wisdom. When I meet with my guides and I turn up as the highest aspects of myself, I sound like a child.
Right.
When I'm talking to them, I sound like, I'm kind of like, And so I go over there and I just kind of like jack into that star and just have a chat with it. Just gives me information and it's just really cool. And it's my
Oh,
language. And they speak in this way that is just so kind of innocent and joyful and childlike. And I realized actually the part of me that has access to joy and that has that, even if it's an archetype, that part is the most intelligent part of me. It's the one that has access to all the knowledge.
And the most translatable as well. So I just to clue the listeners in here, we just started again and we weren't recording and we just had a big tangential conversation that we're going to come back and recount for you now. So if it's a bit funny, that's why. But essentially, my question to you was around your experience, because I couldn't stop thinking about you with this pink bob, just delighting people that you're coming into contact with. And I was just curious as to your experience and your perception and your knowing, as you say, if it is in fact something on the outside, external, that people respond to, or if it is energetic and more so something beneath the surface that people respond to in a certain way.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's the same as my spiritual evolution. I guess I sort of started at the ground up. And for this, I started from the outside in. So, you know, I spent a lot of time changing my identity, putting on different archetypes, and playing with those in order to, you know, as I said, elicit some kind of response to get the most highest vibrational feeling I could get from people with the various different archetypes and identities. And there, of course, different measures of success around that. But what I've come to understand is that it's all energy. So, you know, the conscious mind, it does want to give you some kind of identity. The conscious brain wants to generalize, delete, and distort. It's just part of how it's set up, and that's okay. This is how it works. The subconscious mind is an emotional part of our mind. It wants to feel okay. It wants to know how it feels about a person. But behind the conscious mind, which sits in the mental state, and the subconscious mind, which sits in the emotional state, there's the energy body. Everything is energy. It's all energy. So now, instead of me having to consider what my clothes or the way I have my hair or the jewelry that I wear, or even the words that I say, the impact that might have on people, what I do now is consider where my energy is. What's the vibe of the thing I have inside of me? Because these days, if I can just access that joy within me and I can hold that frequency, it doesn't matter what I wear. It doesn't matter what kind of hair I have. And it doesn't matter the identity and archetypes that I feel I want to portray that day, and I can change them if I want to. And it doesn't change the response that I get.
Wow.
So that's something I've learned over the time. And what I realized is it's because, you know, identity is separate. It's conflicted. It's still divisive. And so if somebody sees me and I don't fit in to the archetype that they are familiar with, meaning they don't resonate with my clothes or the jewelry that I choose, then that can often create a barrier to connection. And I didn't want that. I wanted to be able to connect as deeply as I could. So, you know, as I said, I just kept learning and understanding. And now if I just emanate the frequency of openness or the frequency of love or joy, as we've been discussing, then it doesn't really matter if they don't like my clothes or they don't understand why I choose that particular jewelry. And I can still see people be quite confused about that for a moment. Their minds will go, what is she wearing? And then I go, hi, how are you? And then they're like, oh, hi, she's smiling at me.
That's right.
And then
it's
other
no
stuff just
longer
goes
an
away.
issue. Yeah, that's right. Totally. Oh, that's just such a liberating thing to hear too, because I think it's something, again, that like we all know to be true, because we've all had this experience, right? Of whether we're feeling it ourselves and having that interaction from that place within us, or experiencing it with someone else, where we look at them and we're like, what's their deal? And then they're just like, oh, hi, hello. And it's just suddenly like, oh, look, there's this nice person that's, you know, joyful
Yes,
and wants
exactly.
to connect with me. Great. No questions.
That's all there is all of a sudden.
it's so profound.
And in this way we can transcend the conceptual mind, and what a wonderful thing that is to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
And I realize that that's what art does. So for many years I've considered myself to be art, and sometimes art bothers people. It can be
of course
triggering, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I take responsibility for the fact that as I'm putting energy out into the spaces, that energy impacts other people. So how can I just find more of that connection and that love and that authentic joy within myself? And I can't always be in a joyful state, and that's okay.
Yes, that's right. And I think in saying that, you know, it goes back to this idea of identity, right? Because an identity has an expectation, a sort of, this is how you're supposed to be, and this is how, you know, you show up in a certain way. And I think that, you know, being able to speak as you are about your experience from such a sort of sovereign, authentic internal space is just, it's beautiful to hear, and I think just a radical proposition to consider.
It's funny that joy is such a radical thing, but I understand what you're saying, and it is to sort of choose joy over other considered more profound or more mature feelings is absolutely something that's radical. But to me, joy is this neat little trick. It's like a little slippery slide that gets you into a neutral state. It gets you into the unified heart field. And all you've done is sort of giggle and skip down the street.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you didn't
right.
have to meditate for 17,000 years in a cave on your own
That's right.
to get to that beautiful state of neutrality. You know, it's like this little doorway that just
Little
zoops
trick.
you straight on through.
It is a trick. And I guess this is a good time to ask as well, because we were playing with these frequencies, right? Discussing them, that we're both quite fond of, and innocence, I think, is one that it can feel even less accessible to us as, you know, functioning adults in the world, if you will. And what are your thoughts on innocence in your lived experience?
Innocence is definitely something that I have reframed in my conceptual understanding of innocence. You know, I used to think that innocence meant naivety. And naivety for one who is hyper receptive or sensitive, or what we might call an empath, is a dangerous thing to have. You know, I thought
of
that
course.
Being innocent meant that I would be used and abused and taken advantage of, and I would have no boundaries. And so I've updated this idea of innocence to now realize that innocence is purity. And the way that I found this, actually, the first time I found the energy of innocence was on a visionary trip that I had that took me straight into my heart, as deep as I could go, into the very, very, very quiet places to just listen to what was there. And what I found was what I would absolutely call this neutral energy of innocence. And it was just like wide-eyed and present and listening and just receptive to receive everything, just I just kind of want to say, like, it's interesting because I almost want to say willing to connect, but it's not, there is no will there. It's just
That's
this
right.
openness, this spaciousness and curiosity. And for me, curiosity is, you know, again, I find curiosity like this neat little trick. If you can just replace judgment with curiosity, then I feel like you can slipstream into the innocent place from that. That's like a leapfrog. You know, being curious about something allows you to show up to it without automatically categorizing it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, curiosity is a really profound little tool to have in the toolbox. I think it can like access, it's like a key in and of itself. It can just open so many doors. But I think I agree with you about innocence, and I think of innocence as well as like, it's kind of when I can get into a state of observing life happening around me and like really witnessing it without me being, you know, the filter. I feel like innocence is what life is when we aren't, you know, running it through our stories and filters and backgrounds and identities and all those things. It's just sort of the way that things unfold without any interference or force, which is actually how things are most of the time, I think, more often than we'd like to think. So that's a way that I've kind of tapped into it. And, you know, it's little things too, like you were describing, just seeing sunlight, you know, on a leaf or a branch on a tree, or you know, seeing someone laugh, or it's just being open to having life unfold, you know, in front of you, which is, yeah, it's easier said than done, some days.
Well, absolutely right. And yeah, that I will share again, because that was in the other part that we didn't
Oh,
record
was
that you
it?
were
Oh,
speaking about. You know, you'd
great. I'm glad
asked
you
me,
caught
you know,
that.
about how do we access joy? It's like, well, this is all well and good, but how do we
Yes,
actually access
precisely.
joy? And yeah, I was just sharing that, you know, it can be very easy. I mean, for me, it is. It's a very easy space to access now. And yes, I can't always be there. Most certainly. But sometimes in my life, I'll be feeling, you know, not fully in my joy state. And my intuition still invites me to go to the social gig that's coming up. And even though I'm not fully in that joy state, and this is something that I've had to reframe for myself as well, because I used to feel like if I'm not as high a vibe as I can possibly be, then I shouldn't even go out. I take responsibility for what I put into my spaces. And so if I'm not beaming rainbows out of my face, then you better stay home, and clearly you're broken and you need to do some more healing, Eliza. You know, now what I do is just accept the emotions that are there. So maybe I'm even in grief, and my intuition still says, just go out. And so what I do is I accept that I'm in grief. I don't try and fight it. And I take myself out and I'll sit. And I might sit at the back of the crowd and I just watch for a while. I just sit in my grief, and I'm not sort of, you know, sobbing and wailing. I'm just kind of quite a peaceful state because I've accepted that it's there. So I just sit and I watch. I see the look on someone's face when their friend enters the room, and it's joy or it's relief or it's gratitude or it's fun. And I go, oh, wow, that's cool. There's something that intrigues me. And this is what I describe as beauty. I see beauty around in the other humans. Maybe I see beauty in nature. There's just beauty there. And so it's like a kind of like an eagle eye where I zoom in to that beauty and I zoom all of my attention over to there. And then if I want to, I decide if I want to pick up that feeling. Now, I might also be sitting in that room and I see someone who's over there who's crying and upset. Now, I can look at that person, and if I want, I can zoom into that feeling, and my feelings of being upset will increase. Or I can zoom in to those people that are just happy to see one another. And what happens is, yes, my energy starts to rise. Yes, the frequency of that joy begins to meet with my own frequency. But what happens is my subconscious mind then digs through the records of every experience I've had to
Yeah.
find what matches, to find the
Right.
times when I've been grateful and happy to see my dear friend. And then all of a sudden I start to feel better and better and better and better and
Yeah.
better. That's now my reality. But if I want, I can choose to zoom into that friend over there that's really upset and feel all of those feelings.
Yeah. I mean,
It
and
is a choice.
that's right. And I think there was something you hit on. It may have been in the little lost segment, but you said something about along the lines of getting comfortable with that feeling. And I think that that's a really good distinction to make, is like getting comfortable feeling it and like inviting it in and having that actual embodied experience of joy without dismissing it, you know, because I think we do live in a society, it's particularly over here back in the US, you know, the United States is very, you know, the United States natal chart has the moon in Aquarius, Saturn ruled. So everyone loves to say no over here and they don't even know why. It's so funny. Like everyone loves to talk about like what they can't do and why they can't do it. And it's all very, you know, very Saturn, but it's like, you know, I think it is in some kind of, some societal realms, shall we say, more credible to be negative, to be, you know, cynical and to be, you know, these lower frequencies. I think Rebecca Solnit said it really well. Like nobody thinks, let's see, what was it? Something about everyone picks the leather jacket over the pink dress, essentially. Like everyone gravitates more toward that archetype of, you know, the cynic and the, you know, I don't want to say negative, but you know what I mean. And
no,
I just, for any of the listeners that align with that, do you have anything to share? Yeah, just in regard to that.
Yeah, no, I really do agree with you. And this is something I noticed as a young adult. I kind of believed everybody for a while that said that, you know, optimism is naivety.
Right.
And that, you know, having a good amount of skepticism is appropriate and cynicism. And then I actually kind of realized, you know what? The optimistic people, the visionaries, these are the realistic ones. Because I began to, I began to notice that it's all about what I'm noticing. And I used to say to people, if you look, you can see positive change in the world. Just keep looking at it. If you're only looking at the negative change, that's all you see. But if you actually open your eyes to see the other, then you will realize that this is the evolutionary pathway for us. You know, we are becoming lighter. We are becoming more joyful. It, to me, it is inevitable. But joy and innocence and play, they've got a bad rap because it's considered something that is a waste of time or frivolous. You shouldn't be serious. You should get a career. You know, you should earn money. These things require seriousness. And so these are deemed most important. You know, one of my favorite practices, and maybe you all want to do this, is I imagine myself at the end of my life meeting with my team of spirit guides. And as I look back at my life, I go, what will I wish I did more of? What will I wish I did less of? And every single time I do that, what I wish I would do more of is laugh, play, have fun, giggle with other people, connect more. That's it. I don't ever go, I wish I was more serious. I wish I built my career more. These serious things we've been told are what makes a happy, successful person. I mean, to me, they're part of the illusion. They're distorted.
Yes. I completely agree. And we are moving out of that sort of old paradigm, that kind of patriarchal approach, that conditioning that tells us to work hard and be serious and not to ask any questions and to, you know, stay in line and don't bother about any joy or innocence or those things. But yeah, it's all shifting and opening up. And I would love to just go back for a moment and hear more. I just jotted this down earlier. Okay. Quantum healing hypnotherapy. Did I get that right?
Yes. Yeah, it's
That you
quantum
do?
healing hypnosis technique. It's the
Hypnosis technique.
QHHT technique. It's
Cool.
Dolores Cannon's method. She's an amazing woman. She left us with an amazing technique to use and an amazing legacy of information and psychic research that she found. And the quantum healing hypnosis
Cool.
techniques that I've had on myself have made a huge difference to me and have definitely helped me to understand and also access joy, and most certainly, and understand that for me, particularly, joy is the highest vibrational frequency that I can emit.
Yes.
This is, yeah, absolutely a method to help me understand that. And also,
Yeah,
yeah, to
cool.
understand my purpose and to zoom out, I want to say, to see the bigger picture of the world as it's evolving.
Yeah, amazing. Super cool. I didn't realize that. Yeah, I would love to dig into some of that research you were talking about, because I feel like, the realm of, I guess, psychic research, I think there's so many people that I come in contact with, and I can imagine you may share this experience with people who want to explore, psychic realms and psychic information and their own psychic capabilities. That, I just get funny little pieces of feedback from people randomly, like strangers. I don't know if you ever have this experience, but is there any other, I guess, general sources or ways to access these realms that you would recommend for any of the listeners who are curious?
Well, I mean, it's fascinating that we're having this conversation because I can absolutely say, hands down, that when I am in the state of joy, my psychic senses are wide open
Yeah, of
and
course.
I'm safe and protected from anything negative coming in because I have filled up my own toroidal field with the frequency of my choosing, in
Right.
this case, joy. So I'm
Yes.
grounded and I'm safe and protected. I'm
Yeah.
hyper receptive and I can communicate with all the different life forms around me. Being in a state of joy has allowed me to communicate with animals. That's all I do. People
Yeah.
think it's really complicated and a really sort of, elaborate technique, and there are some amazing techniques out there. But what I do is I just drop into a state of joy.
Yeah,
Oh, you're
that makes sense.
beautiful. I just feel so amazing. And I'm just like, oh my God, that animal is just like, oh, so beautiful. And I
Yeah.
giggle and it looks at me. And the
Yeah.
communication has begun. Yeah, it
Yeah.
opens up the psychic senses in a tremendous way because it gets you into your heart space, and your heart space is where you can access the void, you can access all information. But, as you said, it is something that does require you to get familiar with because we have been disconnected and distorted from it. We are told to leave it in childhood and to grow out of it. And so it is like a muscle that you want to connect with again and keep working. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I highly recommend just finding one thing you feel joyful about and thinking about that thing and building that feeling more and more and more so that you know what it is to have it in your body.
Yeah. I had a neighbor in Australia, who she's Australian, and she used to say to talk to the animals, because they would just be around more and like get comfortable. And when she first told me this was several years ago, and I was kind of like, oh, okay. And then I started doing it. And the way that animals respond to me now, after having that practice of speaking to them, and I just talk to them, like they're people, like, oh, hi, like, oh, look at you. What are you doing? Like, how's your day going? You know what I mean? Like, it's quite, and at first
Exactly, yeah.
I felt a little funny about it at first, but then I started to notice that the animals actually responded differently to me everywhere.
Yeah.
So I
Yeah.
hear you on that. And it is just dropping into that like space of being comfortable and safe and open and receptive and curious and just, you know, acting and responding from that place, I think is quite powerful.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you're absolutely right. And taking away the complexity of it, you know, everything has a consciousness, everything that has a consciousness around you can communicate with you. You know, you can do the same thing with the trees and the plants. Hi, how are you? Do you mind if I cut you today? Is it okay if I cut you here? Cool.
Yeah.
They'll speak with you. The crystals, the rocks, the minerals, they'll all speak with you. And yeah, for me, it's true. Know, that energy of just joy. And, you know, what I also use is reverence is the other energy that I use, which is a combination of respect and gratitude.
Yes.
These are what we call higher vibrational frequencies or higher vibrational emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So any and all of these emotions, allowing yourself to be in that state and cultivating them and, you know, as you said, getting really familiar and comfortable with them will all allow your psychic senses to open. And again, in a way that allows you to be safe and protected because you're filling your own field. So there's nothing else can come in and then you're no longer outsourcing.
Yeah.
And you're just connecting with that love within. And that's what meets the world
that's
outside
right.
rather than trying to get the joy and the love from outside.
Yes, and external referencing and getting all the likes on social media and so on and so forth that will just
Indeed.
Never truly fill us up, will it?
No, it doesn't really feel joyful. And I must admit, you know, it's one of the most common things that the guides say in the sessions that I do with people is they go, can you please go out and have some fun? Go and play. You know, flowers come often these days and the flowers are like, just tickle us.
Yeah.
Just put your face against us and tickle. We love it. You know, the flowers love joy.
Yeah.
You know, the nature spirits come and go, can you just come and play with us? The water consciousness says, come and play with me. The wind says the same thing. Come and dance with me. You know, play, frivolity, silliness, the qualities of the child. Children are mostly happy. You can see them. And children are mostly very psychic.
That's so true. Wow. My goodness. All right. Well, thank you again, Eliza. Just as we're wrapping up here, where can we find you? Anyone of the listeners that want to tune into you more? Whereabouts are you these days?
Yeah, thank you. Look, you can find me on my website, elizakendall.com. I also have an Instagram, Eliza Spirit Medium. You can find me there, or you can find me on Facebook, I suppose, at Eliza Kendall as well.
Amazing. Well, thanks again for meeting with me today. And if you have anything else, and maybe we'll wrap that up for now.
Wonderful. Yeah, I guess I just want to... I want to encourage everybody to just, practice, try it, you know, let it be silly with it. You know, again, just speak in those kind of silly ways and find something to feel good about. You know, this is certainly something that came up in Dolores Cannon's quantum healing work as well with the, you know, the 40 years of psychic research. You know, she'll often say things like, if it feels good, move closer to it. If it feels bad, move away. You know,
oh, I love that.
Simple. Right, it's so simple, and we're allowed to feel good and we're allowed to have joy. But if it's not on your radar, as Nietzsche said, you know, those who were seen dancing were thought insane by those who could not hear the music. So I'm often thought insane by people who don't yet have access to joy, but those who do, it then amplifies. And what happens when we bring our joy together? It radiates much, much further out into the field.
Oh, chills all over.
Practice,
thank you
give
for
it a
that.
Go.
yeah, and I think that makes perfect sense. It goes back to that, you know, that authenticity and showing up for ourselves and what it is within us that we feel drawn to, and that being what's going to move all of us forward into this new paradigm that I'm very excited about. And the more that we can tune into what we want and what we feel, the more that we can all just show up more for each other. So beautiful.
Absolutely right. Yes, I agree. Thank you for speaking with me. It's been fun to speak with you.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Eliza. Thank you.